Good afternoon. It is 3:02 p.m., August 7, 2025. This is an informal hearing. I'm Randy Christman, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugenhoffert and Jill Kringstad. So we have a quorum. This informal hearing is kind of a merged hearing between two projects, but that are sharing some equipment and thus a problem. The two projects are Lindahl Wind, which is case number PU-15-482, and Aurora Wind, which is case number PU-18-352. In a little few moments here, we'll go around and have everybody introduce themselves. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Haugenhoffert, do you?
No, I do not.
Okay, then before I turn it over to Commissioner Kringstad for opening comments and to just lead the hearing, I want to emphasize this is an informal hearing, so it involves only undisputed information. If things arise that are factually disputed, we will have to cut this off and schedule a formal hearing. With that, turn it over to you, Commissioner Kringstad.
Thank you. I think before we get started, we'll just have everybody go around the room and introduce themselves. I don't know if, and we'll go around the room first. Do you guys have anybody online at all? Okay, perfect. Let's go around the room first, and then we'll have the people online introduce themselves after that.
Brian Johnson, PSC staff.
Victor Shook, PSC staff.
Sean Strickland, NL Green Power.
Curtis Hudson, NL Green Power.
Adam Renfant, staff.
Steve Call, staff.
And you say you have some people online. If they could go ahead and introduce themselves as well.
Paul Landers and L Green Power.
Samuel Ciliano and L Green Power.
Okay.
Perfect. All right. And it looks like you guys have a presentation to walk through. Okay. Why don't you guys just walk through that? Do you mind if we ask questions? Or do you want us to hold them till the end?
Yes, all of us at any time.
Okay.
Okay. First, I have these to pass out. It's exactly what you're going to see up there, but in just case you want to flip back and forth between a slide that maybe you wanted to see more stuff
on. Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Like the nice job of color coding for your company name.
So, small point of clarification. The only thing that's added, which you have found, is the maps of both sites. Lindahl's on one side and Aurora's on the other. Just it doesn't look so great in a PowerPoint, so I printed that off so you can see the layout of the site.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Okay. So I'll do a quick introduction, a little bit more detailed. Sean Strickland. I've worked for Enel for about 13 years. Been in the wind industry for about 18 years. Previously roles in Enel have been assistant site manager, regional manager, and then just a couple years ago, director, which these two sites fall in my zone. So Enel, we have 40 or so wind farms, and we split those between two zones. So I have the north zone, and I have a counterpart that has the south zone. So I have wind farms in North Dakota, Minnesota, Canada, New York, Missouri, Kansas, Illinois. And like I said, these two sites fall underneath my zone. Enel's based in, our U.S. headquarters is just outside Boston in a town called Andover. Our wind department, we have a training facility and other groups that work out of the Oklahoma City office. So I live in Oklahoma City. I'll let Curtis kind of introduce himself a little more.
Yeah, so Curtis Edson, I'm my title is head of cross technical services. So my group deals mostly with electrical matters, mostly collection system and high voltage parts. Though I was brought into this project because Paul Landers, who's on my team, has a very unique set of skills that lends itself to correcting this. I've worked for Enel for just over 9 years now, and then I worked in the electrical industry for about 15. Started building substations, transmission line. I actually built a bunch in North Dakota here back in my construction days. So.
So I'll just kind of start just a high-level overview of the site. We're located about an hour west of Minot, about 45 minutes east, northeast of Williston. Both sites are located right next to each other. There's 75 wind turbines on Lindahl. They all consist of the exact same technology, all Vestas turbines. And then we have 71 turbines at Aurora, consist of two different technologies, 15 Vestas turbines and 56 Nordex turbines. The orange that you see in the map is the boundaries of the wind farm. So Aurora's all in the orange on the left-hand side of the screen. Lindahl's all on the right-hand side of the screen. And then the details of how it's actually laid out is the additional printout that I gave you. And then the ADLS tower itself sits right where it's on the picture, directly in the middle of both projects, just on the east side of Aurora, outside of one of the furthest eastern turbines. Any questions on this slide?
I'm going to just get one out of the way because it just is bugging me to where it's hard to concentrate on everything else. All of your updates that have been coming out, you're also Lindahl with 47 turbines, and I thought there were much more too.
So I can, that'll be on another slide. So there's not all wind farms, not just in Enel, but across the country, do not have the same amount of FAA lights as there are turbines. It's all dictated by the FAA, and they tell us what turbines need the lights on them. So at Lindahl, even though there is 75 turbines, it was the FAA instructed it only has to be on a particular set of turbines. It's all based on location. So there is only 47.
47 lights.
There's only 47 lights at Lindahl. There's roughly 30 turbines that don't have anything per the FAA. So they were never installed. But 100% of Aurora has FAA lights. Good?
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. So we'll get into more of the details of the project, but to start off, earlier this year we developed a task force to get these projects 100%. So on the task force, you'll see a list of names and then a list of companies. The list of names are everybody that works for Enel that have their thumb on this project, working daily with this project. So myself at the top, Curtis, who's introduced himself, Paul and Sam, who are on site. So Sam is the site manager at Lindahl Aurora. He's on site physically, lives in the area, lives in Minot. Then we have Greg Howard. Greg Howard's our manager of information technology and plant systems. Paul Small's the regional manager. He reports to me, and Sam reports to him. Matt Shaw's network and delivery lead. Todd White is one of our wind specialists. And Joshua Hodge is also from Williston, reports to Sam, and is physically at the site. So this is the group of people that are working daily on restoring ADLS and ensuring we get to 100%. Then below that's the list of companies that is also involved to help us achieve 100%. We have Terma, that's the manufacturer of the ADLS system. Vestas, and Nordex, who are the OEMs of the turbines on site. TWR is the lighting provider, so the some of the equipment up tower, the light, is a company called TWR. Vicor is a third party that we use to everywhere for routine Met Tower maintenance, just to ensure that the structure itself is good. So they check the bolts, replace sensors, stuff like that. And then Run Energy is a company that we use at multiple sites. They're a company that specializes in maintenance of the wind turbines, so doing your routine annual maintenance, greasing, stuff like that, filters. And then each one of these companies at the bottom could involve 2, 3, 4, 5 different people. So there's probably 24 people that we're interacting with to get this working 100%. The current status of the wind farm right now, as you mentioned, 47 Lindahl turbines out of the 75 have the ADLS system and FAA lights. So we're 100% at Lindahl, which we achieved, I think, around a month ago. And then Aurora, 71 turbines, we're at right about 82%. So as a project right now, we're nudging on 90%. This is a high overview of how ADLS works, what it goes through. There's more components than this on an individual basis, but this is a large overview. So we start with the ADLS tower, which we showed was in the middle of the park on its own station. Once it goes through that tower, goes through a cabinet, goes through its own ADLS switch, which then goes down to an Enel switch. Then if we go up to the turbines, all the turbines have to go through a firewall from that OEM for cybersecurity. So Nordex goes through Nordex firewall, Vestas through firewall. Once it goes through their firewalls, everything goes through an Enel firewall and then back through an Enel switch. So this is just a high overview of the different components.
Sean, quick question. Is it typical for one ADLS tower to be running multiple wind farms?
As far as I know, yes. So we do have a site in Canada, mm-hmm. and it's 3 sites.
Okay.
And it all runs off one system.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So would you say it's when you have multiple sites that it's typical for only have one tower, or is it more, I guess maybe what I'm trying to get at is some of the issues that we're having here because we're trying to run 2 wind farms off of one tower. Like if we had 2 towers, would that alleviate some of the issues we have here?
The tower setup is totally by OEM. So we have another site that is a single site, but it is run by 2 towers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the design from the ADLS vendor. They're the ones that specified how that goes. So to my knowledge, none of this stems from the fact that we only have one tower and they're running 2 sites.
Okay. I have a follow-up question to that to make sure I heard you right. You said the ADLS vendor determines how many towers are on?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
So, you know, in this case, Terma, you know, they gave us the design and said we needed one tower. We didn't tell them that we wanted only one tower. They came to us and said it'll work with one tower.
Did they pick the location too within the?
I want to say yes, but I don't know that for a fact. I wasn't involved in the design of that, but I believe that they're the ones that will specify we need it in this area. The exact placement may not be by them, but they'll say we need it in this area, and then we'll work with them on that.
So I just want to push back. Did they determine that after hints and pressure from NL?
Mm-hmm.
Because, frankly, going back 25, almost 30 years ago when I was in the legislature, actually PSC IT people were down there explaining to me how it's problematic to consolidate all of the state's IT things, because what the PSC needs in order to work with and match information with coal mines and the Federal Bureau of Land Management isn't the same as what Human Services or DOT needs, and these things just don't work together with different systems. And so I look at this and I think, like, well, duh, you know, you should have built two different ADLS systems, because everybody else that builds an ADLS system that goes with their wind farm, it works. Now, none of them work as well as I once hoped as far mm-hmm. as time of lights being off, but they don't have the kinds of problems you're having. So I guess I just want some kind of affirmation of that.
So we'll go through why we're having so many issues here. We don't believe that it's because of the setup of the system as far as the ADLS tower or, you know, the fact that it's running two wind farms. That's not the issue that we've seen. And we'll go into exactly what we've seen, but it has mainly, it's mainly been on the turbine, in the turbines themselves, that's been the issue. We haven't had, to this day, we have no indication that we've had any issues with the ADLS radar, with the ADLS provider's software, with their switches, or any of that. We haven't had any issues with that we've been able to find. Like I said, we'll go through and kind of go specifics on this. And the next one actually has maybe a little bit more complex view of kind of the basic there. So you can see here that the system is relatively complex. So you see we have the ADLS vendor. They're in charge of their tower, their server, their switches. That's all they monitor. Then to get to the turbines, they're going through the Enel switches. Then we have firewalls and switches in the turbines themselves.
I don't mean to interrupt. I think on your remote, there's a pointer. So as you go through, you can...
So you have the ADLS system itself. This is the Terma. This is what they're responsible for. It's just this piece right here. Then we have our Enel switches. That's within the purview of Enel. We manage those switches. Then we have Vestas, their firewall, and then they have a router and a switch inside their turbines. So on Lindahl, we have two different types of switches or routers that are in their turbines. And then it transitions back to the Enel responsibility, where we have kind of from those communication devices, we have wiring, we have cards, and this is back into the Enel responsibility, the lights themselves. This is where we've had all of our problems that we're correcting over the last several months. This has been in this area here. We've had minor issues here that we've corrected, but that has not been what's driving this issue. It's all been, or the vast majority has been down here in the components inside the turbine themselves. I would have to go to Paul on that.
Paul, what is a media converter on the turbines?
The media converter that's inside the ADLS box, it's branded Lantronics. And basically what it takes is Ethernet communication and converts it to RS-485. And RS-485 is just another way to communicate. And that's what the lights communicate through to get back to the ADLS, to pass through Modbus traffic.
So, Curtis, I just want to go back to something you just said, and maybe it was just casual and wasn't meant to be specific, specifically on point. You said that area has been the cause of most of the problems the last couple months.
Yep.
But one thing that is frustrating me so is we were talking about this 14 months ago. And it seems like nothing got done until the last couple months when our staff has just started applying more pressure. And so where were all the problems for 14 months here?
So,
or I don't know how much longer before that. But.
So we thought that initially when Enel was communicating previously, we thought that the issues were either here or here, you know, in the Vestas Nordex firewalls and switches. So we thought it was a communication issue. The turbines aren't communicating, and we thought it was somewhere in that communication path between the ADLS and the various vendors. Once we started digging into it and really trying to troubleshoot that, when this task force started this year, that's where we found out, when we went back and tried to say, okay, well, you know, is it this? Is there something wrong with the Terma server? No, we can't find any problems with the Terma server. Okay, is traffic getting through the Vestas firewalls and the Vestas switches and the Nordex firewalls and the Nordex switches? And we went through that and found out, well, yes, you know, for the most part, all the traffic should be getting through that. And then when we got down into the NIC system, which is that the, you know, path between those switches and the light themselves, so all the wiring and communication there, that's where we found we had an issue. And that is really why it's taking so long, is because it's not in a system that you know, we could make a software fix and, you know, suddenly everything's communicating. We're having to go through turbine by turbine and fix the issues.
What are the issues that you're finding as you're going through it? Is this the same issue in each turbine, or
no? It would be very nice if that was the case.
I have the three high points on here: the wiring, the configuration, and firmware.
And Paul, can you see the screen that we're sharing remotely?
Yes.
Okay, so you know where we're at. So this is just a typical lighting configuration that's in the turbines with some of the boards. And then the left side's Vestas turbines, the right side's Nordex turbines. So one of the differences, the Nordex turbines do have two lights on top of them. One's just a fail-safe light, but it also has wiring that goes to it, where the Vestas turbines have just one light up tower. Paul, what slide would you like me to go to describe some of the issues?
We didn't put in a slide. I have the
the
notes here. Paul, if you want to, or I can say, either way.
Yeah, let me look down here real quick. Sure, if you want, just want to go to the picture of the slide 8, I think.
Yep.
And you could probably blow that up a little bit if it's hard to see. I got it blown up on my screen so I could see it.
We have a big monitor so we can see clearly.
So some of the, you know, issues we ran into, these were installed by contractors. And this is only displaying a Vestas configuration. What you can see different in the Nordex is that it's twice the wiring. And sorry, you guys can't see where I'm tracing my cursor. But what we've been finding from these contractor installed boxes is several issues, starting with the Lantronics. Lantronics is the green card. The bottom where you see the Ethernet cable going in is the communication path back to the turbine, all the way back through all the switches and other devices to get back to the ADLS. And then above that, you have the orange, the blue, and the yellow wire. That's the path for the RS-485 communication. It basically just sends a differential voltage, so it knows what signal to get back there. And then we also have supply wire and stuff to the lights. They're all powered by 240 volts, and that gets the light working. There's a number of issues we've ran into, starting with Lantronics. When I started peeling this onion back with the team, one of the first things they noticed that we didn't have the MAC addresses available to verify the actual location of the device. So part of that campaign was, and it's still kind of ongoing, is we're collecting the MAC addresses, which is the physical address of the device, and the IP address, because the IP address only tells you what it's trying to talk to you. The MAC address tells you where that's actually at. So we map that out, and that's for future troubleshooting. But when we started to look at the configuration on some of these, some of them it was a very easy fix on them. I don't recall how many, but when I looked at the configuration and after I talked to TRW and Terma and I did some troubleshooting with them, we found that some of them didn't even have the RS-485 communication parameters set so that the lights could even talk. And also the timeout, some of the timeout settings. And we corrected those, and I got a handful of those or more corrected at Lindahl and some at Aurora. The second part is that we found one of the versions of Vestas is MK10, its router and switch setup is different on the MK7. Somebody inadvertently mapped the communication parameters as MK10, and the router was not able to pass that traffic. It had to have its own specific settings, and we were able to correct that. And we also found, and this is one of those things that took a while, is that there's firmware in these lights, and the version of firmware we had was having trouble passing the Modbus communication back, which tells us the light status of the lights, and we could not get them out of NOCOM. And after we got some firmware and we created a test bench at the shop as well, we updated some of the light cards, and they started talking again so that we could see them. So then we started to realize that, you know, not every Vestas machine was not talking because of the firmware, but there were probably something like 10 or 12 of them that just would not talk without the firmware update. Now, we haven't updated all of the Vestas yet. We're going to go back and update the firmware on all of them to keep them talking and make sure that they don't blink out as well. And then 100% of the Nordic site, we need to update the firmware because all the lights will not talk. And moving on from the Lantronics card, some other things we found, like just yesterday, if you see the blue wire, somebody took that wire when they were installing it and installed it just below in that square hole, which is a removal where you'll put a screwdriver in to remove and install your wire. Somebody inadvertently plugged that in there and it disabled the communications. Or we had some other issues with things were miswired, but overall in this box, it's been really boiling down to making sure that it's wired correctly and it's even color coded.
So, sorry to interrupt there, but you just said from you think that was from initial installation that the blue wire went into the hole that wasn't for the wire.
I don't know what's happened over the past several years, but I, you know, I don't know if anybody's been in there since then, but I would hazard a guess that that may be the case.
Okay. And if that's the case, I mean, that's, I mean, obviously all of these play a part in the control of those lights. So it's potentially possible that if wherever you found that, that that system wasn't functional on that tower ever.
Sorry, are you still there? I think you painted out.
Yeah. So are you saying that if that's how it was as it was originally installed, that with the absence of that blue...
I've only been on this project since the beginning of the year, and the technicians that I had up there yesterday found that. So
okay.
Anything could have happened over the years, but...
absolutely understand.
Yesterday.
Sure. But in the absence of the blue wire, I guess, is, you know, and this is just one example of one of the wires on here, but I'm assuming the system, the ADLS system, does not function if one of those wires is disconnected.
The ADLS system is functioning as it intends. It sends the data out and it receives data. And then there's an HMI that is facing, we have one instance or one license that Enel could view. I mean, if the ADLS provider was to, in that instance, to start a new instance, he could probably view it on the ADLS, but it's not something that the ADLS provider would generally see because it's provided to the customer.
So, yeah, to, you know, break this down, the ADLS system functioned, and we have no indication that it never didn't function.
Okay.
Prior to I started, we have no indication that. But after this troubleshooting, it is very, we can't confirm whether the lights themselves actually functioned as intended.
Okay.
I would hazard to say that what we've seen, they probably didn't.
Okay.
And not 100% of them, it could be that it just was not sending the messages back saying what its status is. Some of these miswirings, the light would still work on the ADLS system, but it wouldn't communicate back to us that it was actually connected and communicated. It just depends what was miswired.
So it's fair to say that some of these issues, but not all of them, were due to a subcontractor not installing these systems
correctly. Correct, yes.
Okay. Can you refresh for me when this issue was first noticed? As I was reviewing some of the memos that you've sent to us and our staff, is it as far back as November 2023?
As far as back as we know, that's whenever we first recognized it.
Okay. Is this, I know you said that you have 40 other wind farms. Has this issue popped up on any other wind farms?
So we only have ADLS at three locations.
Okay.
Which would be 3, 4, 5, 6 wind farms. Of the 40. It's a site in Illinois, Canada, and then North Dakota. But all the sites we have in all the other states, and even some sites we have in Illinois, do not have ADLS.
So this hasn't been an issue, though, on the ones that do have ADLS?
No, so we have one site that functions perfectly. We've never had any issues. The second site... we have had some ADLS issues, but it's been on the ADLS side, so the actual tower, the radar tower side of things. It's not been in the turbines like we see here.
Yeah, and the manufacturer of this system, Terma, is also the manufacturer of the one that we have in Canada that runs three sites. Mm-hmm. That one we have no issues with since COD. The site we have in Illinois has a different manufacturer where we are having issues, but they're different than the issues here. But so we also don't think it's a necessarily a Terma issue of that manufacturer, because it is working the exact same one up in Canada.
Yeah, the one in Canada has a different lighting system. It's not PRW. It's another brand, and I always butcher their name. It's OLGA, something like that. But it's a different manufacturer.
Yeah, that would be the only difference. The light that's up tower is a different manufacturer, but the ADLS system itself is the same.
Can you guys just help me understand kind of the timeline around this a little more? So if this was first an issue in November of 2023, I think initially it was indicated that this would be resolved. The goal was to have this resolved by the end of 2024. But it looks like a task force wasn't really set up until 2025. So I'm just like kind of trying to get my arms around why this is taking so long. I mean, obviously the graphs and everything help to show, you know, that there's a lot of components to this system, but this at the same time, it also just seems like this is really dragging out with no resolution.
Yeah, I will say before I became the director, I was a regional manager, but it was over Oklahoma and Kansas sites where there is no ADLS. Mm-hmm. So I've never heard of ADLS until I took over this site. It was brand new word or language to me. So at the beginning, and I'm not an ADLS expert for sure, I just learned about it a couple of years ago. We thought, though, it would just be these switches and communication. So we were talking to Vestas IT department. We talked to our internal IT department. We're trying to find where this data is getting blocked at, going through some switch. Mm-hmm. And going back and forth with them for a while, all the communications that kept coming back was everything's working. Data's flowing on our end, so it's not on our end. Mm-hmm. At that point, I reached out, held up my hand, I said, I need help. And that's whenever we've involved senior management to establish a task force, which he got Curtis on board, and Curtis got Paul on board, mm-hmm. Trying to become our own experts on this. We did reach back out in 2023, 2024, trying to find a company that could solve this issue for us. So it certainly wasn't a money thing or anything else. It was we were wanting to find somebody that could fix this for us. Mm-hmm. So we reached out to multiple vendors to assist us with this. But just like the red squares that we were showing earlier, all they would say is, we can only do this part of it, or we can only do this part of it. We couldn't find a company that can just take the whole thing, give them a bunch of money, come in and fix this for us. Mm-hmm. It was all, they can only do certain pieces of it. That was the challenge. It still is a challenge.
I would say one other issue, and we have it on the slide, but we've had significant turnover internally, so we lost people, and so you know, anybody that we can go back to previously from construction or, you know, in 2023, but most all those people are no longer with the company. And then as we've been solving this year, when we've really been, you know, the task force was created and we were doing as much as we can, even externally with the vendors that we have, the troubleshooters on site, we faced turnover with them and trouble finding people that can do the troubleshooting inside the turbines correctly. So we've had issues even externally to fix the issues over the last few months.
I'm curious, how many ADLS vendors are out there? Do you know?
I have no idea. Just the two that we use, but that's all. That's the only companies I'm aware of. And even the other company, they're the same way. They only take care of that little square around their system, and that was it.
Thank you.
Okay, I think the next slides just kind of walk through some of our troubleshooting sequence, which Paul described a lot of it. So maybe I don't want to repeat everything on this page.
Yeah, I think this is mainly things we discuss through questions and answers.
Sure.
So. Yeah.
Seems to be. Like this box on page 8, I presume that that's either up in the tower or locked away safely. Like, the kids didn't stop on Saturday night and pull a wire out.
Correct. Yeah, the only thing that's actually down tower is just the ADLS, parts of the ADLS. The radar is 80 meters in the air. So, because it isn't on the ground, and that's also why we was going through the other sequences first, is it switches, routers, that stuff that IT people can fix remotely. So that's what we started with. What's the lowest hanging fruit to try to tackle first? So it was a lot of IT stuff. And now we're at the part that's the hardest part, which is everything that we got to fix is 300 foot up in the air. And we have 100 and something of them to go up. So, and there are 2-man crews have to go up each turbine, climb up the turbine, and they're up there half a day or to a day for each one of these issues. So what we're having them do is not just go up, look at something for 10 seconds, come back down there. The team's going up and staying up tower all day long, going through all the wiring, testing the light, making sure it is functioning, which we can do during the daytime, and make sure before they leave that turbine that they're good to go, that we got that one resolved.
Did they have to climb the ladder, or do you have a one-man lift?
So Aurora, the Nordex turbines do have a lift, so you can get in, push a button, takes you up. The Lindahl turbines and the Vestas turbines on the Aurora side do not. It's just climbing the ladder.
When I went up to the top of the hub, and as I was going up, there was like 3 different levels. And when I would stop at a level, there was markings all over on what I would call inspections, infrequent. So going back to 2023, to some of this troubleshooting, there should have been am I wrong? Or assuming there should have been a lot of inspections done going all the way up from the levels all the way up even into the hub as far as?
Correct. So so the Nordex turbines on the Aurora turbines that are Nordex, they just do 1 annual maintenance. So you're right. Somebody goes up that turbine at least once a year. But if it faults, they're going up. Could be 2 times, could be 10 times. Vestas turbines require 2 maintenances a year. So they're going up every 6 months to do a maintenance, greasing, changing filters, that kind of stuff. But the OEM, so Vestas, Nordex, they're only responsible for their equipment. So when we add something to the equipment, that's not in their scope of work to do. So they would check everything else in the whole turbine and put their finger on everything except the ADLS system and the lighting system. Just because it's not their original equipment manufacturer's stuff.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
You're welcome. Let's see. This pretty much covers stuff we've talked about. Yeah, I will say that one of the issues we were having just tackling this issue in that winter gap was just northwest North Dakota winters, minus 54 or whatever it's been. Flute meters, hard hats, everything has a limit on it. We hit the limits multiple times. So there's a lot of days that you just can't work because it's too cold for the equipment. Then just recently, this spring, we've had a lot of Canadian wildfires where our technicians have air quality monitors. It's in the red, so those days we can't work. There's lightning within 30 miles. We can't go up tower on those days either. So there's a lot of – we have a team there every single day, 7 days a week, this run team wanting to go up tower, but they may only be able to work 3 or 4 days a week, something like that, so just because of fires, too high winds, you can't go up the tower, lightning, stuff like that. So
respond to this. I don't know how many wind farms we have in North Dakota. Quite a few. When we approve one, that spring, they start working, and by that winter, that thing is operational and the PTCs are being collected. They find the staff, they deal with the weather conditions, they deal with the environmental conditions coming down from Canada. When they want it running, it always gets done. But now when we want something fixed so it works the way our constituents expect it to, well, we're having trouble finding troubleshooters, and it's kind of hazy outside, and it's excuses. So tell me what the difference is there.
On just a turbine itself, you can find thousands of people to work on the turbine. There's several thousand Vestas technicians can work on Vestas turbines. There's hundreds or thousands Nordex turbines that can work on the turbines. When it comes to the ADLS, when we're calling and trying to get somebody to help us with ADLS, almost nobody knows what it is, to be honest. Like I was 2 years ago, never heard of it before. So we send out RFQs to bring anybody in, come help us, and almost every response was, we've never messed with ADLS. We don't know what it is, so we're going to turn it down. There's only one company, which is Run, who we have on site now, that said, we don't know what it is, but we'll come learn, figure it out for you. That's what, if you know of a company that knows ADLS, we'd love to know who they are to help us now or in the future, but that's been the problem, is finding somebody that knows what it is. It's just a new technology. And it may have been around for a few years, but not lots of places, so where anybody knows what it is.
I'm not the one who committed to doing this. You guys are.
Oh, I completely understand. We can go back and answer any other questions, but this is just where we're at now, some of the action items. So process to add administrator rights to plant personnel computers for configuration activities. That's been completed. Something I didn't mention is Sam, the site manager, and Joshua, the assistant site manager. They just started not even a year ago, I don't think, sometime in 2024. So they're new to the site. So we have them set up. Created a test bench to test the light cards and update firmware and test and configure communication cards. So we have this on site now. We have spare inventory, and we're pulling cards out, make sure it has the correct firmware on it, and then we rotate them out with the crew that's going out to the turbines to make sure that every turbine card up tower has the correct firmware. So we have that set up now in our office. The ADLS server and SCADA access, we have that set up now. Implemented tools to troubleshoot the lights and verify operational status, we have that. And then the two bottom ones still in process is creating a troubleshooting guide for the Vestas and Nordex configuration in works. Is there anything we didn't touch on that you'd like to dive deeper into or something new?
So by my estimation, it looks like you have about 13 units still at Aurora to still be fixed.
Yeah, so we have 13 that are still flashing at night. Mm-hmm. We're working as hard as we can to get those stopped flashing, and then there's others that we're going to go back to and they're not communicating the way we want them to, but they're not flashing at night. So in our updates, we have shared that, you know, we're doing every so often we send guys out at night to go and look and count and make sure that You know, the lights that we think are not flashing are actually not flashing, and we don't have a disconnect there. So we're working to get those last 13 to stop flashing. Mm-hmm. And then we do have remediation on others that aren't communicating the way we want them to, but they're currently not flashing at night.
Okay. Do you have any time estimate for when those 13 would be resolved?
So we are pushing very hard to have those done by the end of the month.
We just, the team yesterday got three back on working in one day, got three. So that was a good day yesterday.
So you may have touched on this, but
I have a crew out right now. We may be down to 12, but we had significant weather delays today due to lightning. So they just got back out there, but I've got to finish doing some troubleshooting after this.
You may have answered this, but I just noticed a question that I had written down in your filing from April. It says a task force of internal engineering, construction, operations and maintenance, and IT subject matter experts was created. When was that created and completed, and that the task force started meeting and working?
I don't have the exact date memorized, but I know
approximately.
March or April. Yeah, it would have been in March
of this year.
Correct. That's when the task force was developed.
I thought I heard two different numbers. 13 units still flashing, and then I thought I heard that three were resolved yesterday, and then I heard...
So the 13 includes the three that were resolved yesterday.
Okay.
And then Paul said today we may have gotten one more. So that's yet to be confirmed.
So you may be down to 9?
No, we may be down to 12.
12. Mm-hmm. Sorry. My math.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I updated this just yesterday, so it has the three that we did get yesterday morning. And then, like Paul said, they just got one more, so now we're down to 12 total. Yeah. And on the date on my calendar that started on the 31st, so I said March, but it was actually the first week of April when you asked me the task force, so it's first week of April.
Okay.
All right, that I think was all of my questions. Anybody else?
Maybe I missed it, but how did you determine in 2024 that you're having issues with the system?
I'm trying to think back that far, how I learned about it. I don't know if that was from our legal team that you were communicating with, and it came from this way back to me. Honestly, I can't remember.
I believe it was the first notice was in 2023. November of 2023 is what I was given was communication, and I don't know where that communication came from, to be honest, whether how that came about.
Okay, so do you know whether the system was functional going back to when, or if it was ever functional?
So again, the ADLS system that Terma provides, as far as we know, that's always been functional and worked the way it's supposed to. The issue that we see in the turbines, the wiring, we can't confirm that the lights themselves ever functioned the way that it was intended for them to function.
Okay.
Yeah, and as far the ADLS unit itself, the reason why we believe it's always worked is it's working now, and we haven't done anything to it other than just do routine maintenance. So you grease the – it's like a radar that spins around that you see at the airport, that you grease those. The MET tower that it's sitting on, just normal bolt inspections, the cable that goes to it. We did that kind of stuff, but that doesn't affect the whether it's working or not, you know. So we haven't done anything to the actual unit itself, and it's currently working. So we believe that it's worked forever. It's just the tower issues, whether the firmware went bad. Just like a computer needs an update, the only way to update, bring it down tower, connect it to the computers, upload the software, take it back up tower. So
anything else? So are there any objections to the evidence produced today becoming part of our official record? And when I say the evidence, I'm meaning both the handouts as well as the recording of our discussion.
None from staff.
Sean or Curtis?
No.
Sean indicates no, as well as Brian here. So the evidence will become part of the official record upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters for the record?
No, sir.
Well, thank you for being here today and
thank you.
Updating us on things. And this informal hearing is closed.